Harper Audio presents Too Much of a Good Thing by Kimberla Lawson Roby, read by Heather Alicia Sims. Curtis raised the volume on his big screen TV, slouched farther into the sofa, and sighed with frustration. He'd been tossing and turning night after night, trying desperately to dismiss the voice he kept hearing. It was a voice that demanded his return to the ministry. For 4 years, he tried to appreciate the $50,000 salary he earned as director of a delinquent teens facility, but it wasn't working. During his pastoral reign at Faith Missionary Baptist Church, he'd become accustomed to earning three times more than that, not to mention the thousands of dollars he received in love offerings. He remembered how most of the members had worshipped the ground he walked on. Loads of women in the church had openly thrown themselves at his mercy. It wasn't long before he'd given in to Adrian Jackson, the wife of one of the deacons. Then there was Charlotte, who was all of 17 when he'd first begun seeing her, and 18 when she gave birth to his illegitimate son. But he regretted nothing, the way he regretted being caught on videotape having sex with two women. He'd met them at a convenience store and taken them straight to a hotel. But what he hadn't counted on was their setting him up to be blackmailed. Monique, his disgruntled church secretary, had masterminded the entire scheme. Curtis lost everything. His tax-free six-figure income, 3,000-plus congregation, custom-built dream house, and, most important, his wife and daughter to another man. Curtis returned his attention to BET's Morning Inspiration segment. A world-renowned TV evangelist danced across the pulpit. Curtis watched the massive audience rising to their feet, clapping, screaming, and giving high praises to God and the minister who was speaking before them. These people on television reminded him of his own flock, the one he used to have, and he missed having them praise him in the same fashion. He missed the emotional high he always felt whenever he stood before his loyal congregation. The evangelist wore the same type of suit he'd once worn himself. It had been a long while since he was able to buy anything that cost $1,000, but that was finally about to change. The Deacon Board of Truth Missionary Baptist Church had recently approached him. Truth was a church that had been founded by approximately 1,000 of his former members right after he was ousted. They were members who either hadn't believed the rumors they'd heard about him, or who merely felt that he deserved to be forgiven the same as anyone else. They'd approached him about being their leader back then, too, but he'd declined when he decided that he no longer wanted to preach. Now, though, their charter pastor had left and taken a position at a church in D.C., and they needed to replace him. They were offering him $5,000 per week, his choice of any luxury vehicle, and a very respectable housing allowance, something he hadn't been able to negotiate at his previous church because they'd wanted him to live in a modest church parsonage. They were even willing to overlook the fact that he wasn't married as long as he found a wife within the first 2 years of his contract. But Curtis didn't see a reason to wait that long. He was sure that Mariah Johnson, the woman he'd been seeing for the past 6 months, would jump at the chance to marry him. As a matter of fact, she'd be perfect. Unlike his ex-wife, Tanya, she knew her place. She was meek, mild, naive. She was beautiful, but didn't know it. She'd been on the heavy side growing up, but now had a perfect, voluptuous body. And the fact that she honored God and always tried to do the right thing didn't hurt. Curtis thought about all the rewards he was going to reap and wondered why he was still somewhat hesitant. But deep down, he knew what it was. It was his mother and the scripture she had quoted him over and over whenever he spoke about his desire to be filthy rich. She quoted Mark 8:36. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? But the more Curtis thought about it, the more he realized that Mark 8:36 really didn't apply to him. It didn't apply because he had no desire to gain the whole world.